we're holding in Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel. Ha'edim Shomer K'sav Yedeinu Huzeh. So Chazal instituted Mita Raisa. We bring a shtar, Malvin Aloyva, let's say.
What we bring?
So a person brings a shtar to Beis Din. So Mita Raisa, the shtar is Naman. We don't have to mekayim the signatures. However, Chachamar Masakin, that we're not going to use the shtar. We're not going to use the shtar until you do some type of kiyum on the signatures. We verify the signatures. It can be done either by the Adam himself coming and saying we signed on it, or Adam coming and saying that they recognize the signatures, that these are the signatures of those people, or we could do dimin chasimas. We can compare this shtar to other shtaris which have been verified and validated, that the signatures look the same. We can rely on that as well. So in this situation, the Edom come and say, yes, we signed on it. Ksav Yedeinu is that we did sign on it. So at that moment, the shtar is now valid. But we were forced to sign on the shtar against our will as a threat of death. So if they were honest, because they would lose money, so they're not allowed to be over the issue of testifying falsely, signing falsely, because they're going to lose money. But that'd be Mezi Matzah Rosha. But they're saying they're reducing because of the Foshas, so there's no Rishas involved in what they're saying. Or Ketanim, you know, when we signed, we were Ketanim. Or Psula Edis, you know, at the time we signed, we were related, and therefore we were not valid to sign. If they say that they were, again, they would say they're possible because they were Gazlonim, they wouldn't be believed because they ain't on the Mezi Matzah Rosha. But they're going to say these statements, which they would be believed on. So the Hirel and Amonim, so they're believed, and the shtar is not good. However, if there are other Edim who have testified that this is their signature, or if we can have compared the signature to other shtaris, so we don't need them to testify, because we have validated the shtar even without them. So as soon as you validate the shtar without them, the law is we kick into a deraisa assumption that the shtar was done by kashrus, and the shtar is true. So now we're left with the situation where that without their testimony, the halachic assumption is that the shtar is kosher. They come and say that yes, they signed, which we already knew that, but they were psulim, or they were krivim, they were ketanim, they were anusim. So what's the halach in that situation? So einam nemanim, they're not believed. And the Mora says, so what does that mean, they're not believed? That means they're not believed, and you collect with the shtar, it's trey or trey. We should deal with this. There are two sets of einam over here. The shtar, with the halachic assumption that it's kosher, was done by kashrus, acts like two edim that this is true. There are two edim that these individuals are saying that it's not true. So you can't collect with the shtar. The word says, you're right, you can't collect. But if the person was teifis, you would not be able to take it away from them, from the malva. Let's say the malva went and grabbed money from the loiva, and the malva says, I have a right to it. I have a shtar which says, I have a right to it. You cannot take the money away from the malva, because maybe the shtar is true. So the trey or trey is a fascinating thing. It's their signatures being validated, so we know that they signed, and they're saying that it wasn't true. But the halacha says that once they signed, the halachic assumption that a shtar is true kicks in and has the equivalence of two edim. So it's two edim saying the shtar is good, i.e., the fact that they did sign on it, We know that it's a true shtar, that it was signed. It wasn't just the malva forging a document. It was a true shtar. And once it's true that it was a true shtar, that's considered the two edim. And the resha, which once the chomer masakan, you need kiyum shtaris. And these edim walk into bez and say, yes, we signed, but we were kroivim. Yes, we signed, but we were psulim. So that's a pesha, also a pesha hitter. Because, let's say, according to the way we understood Rashi. So when they walk in the bezin and say, yes, we signed, but we signed bipsul, that's equivalent to saying that that's not a kiyum shtaris. So we're left without a kiyum shtaris, so you can't collect another shtar without a kiyum shtaris. So it removes, the sum total of their statement is that this is not an act of edus. The point is to come and say, we want to verify that there was edus here, that this wasn't edus. They said they were nusim, or they're psulim. So they have not accomplished a kiyum shtaris. And therefore, the shtar is left without any validation. You can't collect. So that's shot in the ratio, which are ilan amonim. So that's another example of a pesha as a pesha hitter. Okay. So as you can imagine, the Gemara is going to then go off into this conversation. Where does this? How far do we take this halachic assumption of the strength of a shtar? So this sugya will be one of the major main sugyas of how shtaris work in Shas, is this sugya over here. Okay. Ze armer zek savyadi. So when the Tewanim come and they testify in Bezin that their signatures are valid. So a person walks in and he says, listen, they could do that by saying, by shtaris they don't have to sign at the same time. So they can walk in and say, yes, we signed together. So each person is being made about themselves and about the other individual. They can walk in the bed and say, I remember that I signed. I recognize the other signature. Okay, so that also would be valid. So Mizek Savyadi, Mizek Savyadi Shel Chaveri. So he says, listen, this is my Xaviat, I recognize my signature, and I recognize the signature of my chavr over here, the other person signed over here, I recognize both. So that's the case where you have two edim on each signature. Zer Mizek Savyadi, each one says, listen, I recognize my signature. I know I signed. I don't know what the other person. I recognize the other signature. I don't know anything about it. And another person says the same thing. Okay. So now we only have one aid on each signature. So would that be a valid kiyum? We need two aidim to verify a shtar. We don't have two aidim. We have one aid on one signature, one aid on the other signature. So tzichim litzarf imohem acher divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says you have to go out to the and find another individual, at least one, who can recognize both signatures. So then each signature has two aid. But as is, each signature only has one aid. So it would not be a valid kiyum. Chachamim mermim ein tzichim litzarf imohem acher alanem and adam lomer zek seaviyodi. So if the situation would be that the Edom was signed are no longer they're not here, they're not alive, they're not here, etc. So Reuben and Shimon signed on the shtar. Reuben and Shimon are no longer available. So comes in Levi and says, I recognize Reuben's signature. I did not know anything about Shimon's signature, but I recognize Reuben's signature. And comes along Yehuda and says, I recognize Shimon's signature. So there everybody agrees that Rebbe is right. That's not enough. You only have one aid on each signature. But over here, it's not Levi and Yehuda being made. It's Reuven being made. I signed. And Shimon is being made. I signed. What they're really being made is, I'm saying that the document is true that there was a loan. And Shimon is saying, I'm saying the document is true there was a loan. So there's two aid that the star is true. See, we're not, the goal over here in this situation, when the signatories themselves are being meyed, the Edom themselves are being meyed, they're not being meyed that this is my signature, they're being meyed that the shtar is true. There's two Edom, the shtar is true. So you validate the shtar in the best way possible by validating that the shtar is true with two Edom. So that's the Moor's lashon is they're being meyed on the mona of a shtar, they're being meyed on the money, the mona, the loan, and the shtar. They're not being meyed on the signature in the situation.
What if they said that, look, I don't remember signing, but you know, I can tell you this is my signature.
The Mora has a similar case, not that case. The Mora has a similar case. I don't remember what the loch is over there. I don't remember. The Gemara has a case like that. Okay. Now, getting back to Pesha Osir. Isha Shamra, Ishas Ish Hagisi, Regrushani. So, Nemanis. If we know a woman is divorced, excuse me, if we know a woman is an Ishas Ish, we know that she's married. She walks and says, you know, I'm divorced. So she's not Neman, she needs to wait and say that she's divorced. If we don't know that she was married, other than she walks and says, you know, by the way, I was married once upon a time, but I'm divorced. I don't have my get anymore, but I'm telling you, I was married, I was divorced. So she's Nemanis. She had Pesha Osir, who had Pesha Hitzer. She's the only source of the fact that she was married, and she's telling us that she was divorced. Excuse me. So she's believed with Pesha Hitzer. So if you look like Rashi, she's walking and saying, "I'm a penuya." The sum total of her statement is, "I was married and now I'm divorced." So I'm not a married woman. That's what she's saying. I'm not a married woman. That's what she's really saying. So fine. So without her statement, we assume she's not married. Now with her statement, she also assumes she's not married. So what's the problem? According to Tosis, It's a form of amigu. That why would she lie and tell me that she's divorced when she could have kept her mouth shut and we would assume that she's married, that she's eligible. This gentleman over here does get involved in this issue. Do you need tech de deeper? So according to Rabbi Rashi learns that the point that we look at the statement did not say marriage. A woman walks in the bed and says, I'm a married woman. I'm an Ashes Ish. And she stops right there and she comes back 20 minutes later and says, by the way, I was divorced. So what should happen? So she walks in and says, I'm an Ashes Ish. She has nemanis to be bayed because Shavin HaShechtich HaDisura. So she's established a status vis-a-vis herself that she's an Ashes Ish and nobody's allowed to marry her. Now she wants to come and say, I'm a divorcee. So Mehechadesi, who can talk, you say you're a divorcee. If the Lomas is that the statement as a whole means nothing, that's not true over here. There's two separate statements. If you walk in Teichad Dibra and say, listen, I was married and I'm divorced, what you're saying is, I'm not nothing. So we look at the subtotal of the statement, but so you need Teichad Dibra. Or do we say a whole different type of concept that since that conceptually, but you are the one who created the statement. The statement belongs to you, so you can then come and clarify it and correct it afterwards as well. So that's what Machlokes in the Mishnah. According to Tosis says you would need Tekhle Dibur possibly for a concept of a Migu. Migu works, when she comes and says, we want to believe when she says Grushani. Well, she has a Migu. She could have said, she didn't have to say anything at all. Well, that's not true anymore. Once she said Eishes Isha, you see, and she walked away, came back. Now her only solution to being eligible is by saying Grushani. So she doesn't have a Migu anymore. She destroyed her Migu by not saying it right away. Or do we say no? The overall picture is, so that Tosis calls that a Migu L'mafreya. Tosis Migu L'mafreya Lo Yamrina. But there are some Rishonim say you don't need Tech the Dibur. Because Pesha Osir is like a third idea. It's like you create the statement, so it's your statement. You're the balabas over it. So I can come later on and correct it. Let's say, however, ish. If we know, we know from an independent source that she's married, she does not have the munus to say that she was divorced. There is a Gemara which says a woman says in the presence of the husband, "You divorced me." There's a chazaka. She would not have the chutzpah to say that if it wasn't true. So she has the munus based on the chazaka. And even that, the Gemara says that eventually they abused that, and we had problems with believing that, but. But if it's not the presence of the husband, she has no lemonis. You need to wait and say a woman who we know independently is an ish, we need to wait and say she's divorced. She's not believed to say she's divorced. Okay. Let's say a woman who says, so there's a concern that they have problems with people being captured, kidnapped, and the captors would take advantage of the women and have relations with them. So now, if she's an Ashes Kayan, or if she wants to marry a Kayan now, we have to assume that she's had relations with somebody who's puzzled to her a goy, and that makes her puzzled to kahuna. If she's married, even a woman who's nenas is also to her husband the kohen. She said, "Amra nishpesi b'taharani." She says, "We do not know independently that she had been captured." She says, "Yes, I was captured once in my life," and she says, "No, nothing happened to her ani." So nemenis shapesha also her pesha hitter. She's the whole sole source of the problem, and she corrects it by saying this taharani. We may share him shanish base v'yomeris taharani and an amenis. If, however, there are edim that she was nishbase, and she says, "Yeah, but nothing happened." The assumption is that something did happen, and then she not believe to say nothing happened. So and an amenis. V'mishanis says. Okay, so now the Gemara says it doesn't necessarily mean niseis. It means we have this question. Bezen passing, she's mutter to marry Koyan. The Gemara psak of Heter. Then come Adam and say that we know that she was nishbeis. So if we know that she was nishbeis, we have to assume that something happened. So she's not the source of the problem anymore. The source of the problem is now the Edim. So she has no nemanos to say to her ani. But we already gave her a heter to marry to kahuna. So loch is a rezu lo seitze. She does not lose her heter. Bez and paskin that she's mutter. She remains with that heter in that situation. Now that's true in the case of Shuya, which that's not the. We don't have a idea of adoyis that there was a problem. We assume that's what happened. Therefore, we answer it misafik. She established in Bezin. So Tosha says, "Yeah, you see, it's amigu. We say we have a proof that what she said was true because when she said it was true. We've proven that. Brother Rashi, no, you're not proving anything at all. It's not amigu. All you're saying is sum total is zero. But now there's Adim, and Adim says that she's nishbeis. This assumption that probably there was a problem." So she has no lemonis connected. What's the heter? Even though conceptually Rashi makes a lot of sense, she didn't say anything. But you see over here from the Mishnah, that's more than just this. It's more than just she didn't say anything. That this establishes some level of belief that this is what she's saying is true. So Tosha says, "Aha, migu." Right? It's a very clear migu. So that's what Tosha comes from. From this mission over here, really is the one which seems to support it the more out of all the cases. Okay, what's going to happen is in the next two Mishnayos, we're going to talk about what about two women who are nishbeis and they're testifying for each other, or other scenarios where people are testifying for each other. So, why not? Okay, Eirechon is believed this she's tahara. In this situation, it's not a davreshav erva. It's an issur de lav, erech and misurin. So each woman's made for the other. Other hand, maybe they made up to testify for each other. So that's the next Mishnah I'm going to deal with.